But we can talk about the haircut though. I get my haircut every Friday, mm-hmm. and that didn't. When we started doing that, I couldn't really afford to do it. But my wife was like, "Hey, you tell people all the time to start acting as if they are the person who they're trying to become. What is something that if you were already the person you're trying to become, you would do?" I'm like, I would get a haircut every week, and I would get the car washed every week. At the time, I was still driving a fair amount. Now I walk to work. And she's like, well, then do one of them. I'm like, yeah? She's like, yeah. So I chose to get the haircut. And the mistake I've made, or not mistake, is I've coached my barber on business. So 4 years ago, I paid him $17 a haircut for a year. Now it's $45. I pay the full freight if people are curious. But it's the reason to do that is it makes me feel successful. I get my hair cut, I walk home, I gotta walk back into the car. I'm like, yeah, I look good. I feel good about it.
Where did your mentality with all that you do start? Oh. Was there like a pivotal changing point in your life? Was it traumatic? Was it like...
There were a few.
Was it like anything specific, or there was a lot?
I can point to several dots that became like the thing. First one was seventh grade, right? I was 98 pounds. I wrestled 98 pounds in middle school. And I thought I was super cool. I thought I was awesome. I had a lot of friends in elementary school. I was a decent baseball player and an average athlete. And turns out Anthony, the eighth grader, the captain of the football team, who already had a beard, right? I could barely grow hair on my head, forget about my face. He had kids my size. Someone told me he wanted to beat me up. And I got scared. Mm-hmm. I was like any other, I guess, seventh grader who was afraid at the time. Went to the nurse. I don't feel well. I need to go home. Went home sick that day. My dad came home. He found out about what was going on. And he was like, hey, what happened? So I told him, and he was like, look, you're never going to let somebody do that again. So tomorrow, I want you to go into school, and I want you to challenge Anthony to a fight. I said, I'm sorry. I don't think you understand. And he's like, no, I do. And what's going to happen is either Anthony's going to beat you up, and no one's going to be surprised, and no one's going to care, or you're going to really hurt him, and people are going to wonder, like, how'd that happen? But no matter what, everyone is going to know. If they want to pick on you, they have to be ready to go through with it. Mm-hmm. So the next day I came in and challenged Anthony to a fight. I was nervous. I'm sure my voice was squeaking, and I'm sure that right now it feels like way more heroic than it actually was in the moment. And he put his arm around me. He's like, no, we're cool. And that pissed me off even more, right? Because he had this power over me. So for a long time, I had this big chip on my shoulder about bullies. I'm like, you're not going to bully me, and you're not going to bully anybody I know or anybody I don't know. If I see you bullying somebody, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah, I like that.
So that carried me for a while. Then I split with my business partner, who was one of my best friends. We just stopped seeing eye to eye, and it wasn't working. And I was forced into like 17-hour work days, like Monday through Friday, 17 hours on. And my wife and I were walking on our block in Long Beach. And she says to me, she's like, hey, she's pregnant. She goes, I don't want to be a single mom. I was like, fuck, that one stings. Mm-hmm. But I imagine, you know, you did jujitsu. I imagine you've done some stand-up sparring too. It's kind of like getting punched, but you think the other guy got lucky, so you don't change all that much. About a year after that, we were running an event, and the event lost $26,000. I had a business partner in the event, so I was responsible for 13 grand. My wife was a teacher. She was making like $55,000-$60,000 a year. I was making like 30, working those 17 hours as a doctor, a gym owner, an event planner. So I had to come home and tell her, hey, I lost $13,000 of the $15,000 that you have put into our bank account to save for a house. Felt emasculated. I was crying. I was embarrassed, scared, all that. So that was like the uppercut. I'm like, oh, maybe this is real. I need to change who I am. Hired a mentor. Mentor started to help me understand how to become a better person, execute on empathy better. fast forward a little bit, about a year after that, had my first year earning over $100,000. He never taught me anything about business, all just about being a better person. Then I thought I had the life I wanted. I had Olympians flying out to see me, professional athletes flying out to see me. Realized I don't like that. So I left, started my own business, working online with Active Life, and just had to continue to become a better leader and a better leader and a better leader to support our team as we grow.
Now, with all that being said, is it crazy or is it good that men, in order for us, because I've been in like similar situations, whether it was bullying, whether it was losing jobs, getting fired, stuff like that. Is it good or is it a bad thing that men, when we go through those traumatic experiences or we go through those really fucking deep lows, isn't that where we realize, oh shit, I gotta get my shit together? Or you go through so much pain, whether it's heartbreak, business, money, in that moment you're like, I really have to hunker down. There's a flip a switch, right, in my brain, in my head. I need to start elevating. I need to start training harder, pushing my business more, doing different things. Is it a good or a bad thing for men? What do you think?
I don't think I could be half of who I am if I hadn't gone through it. And I think a critical element to the success on the other side for anybody is having other men around you who want you to be successful, who will call you on your shit, who will tell you, hey, you did a really good job at this and you need to do this better. Who, you know, something I really respect about you is I never have to question your integrity. And I'm confident that if you ever did something that seemed out of alignment with your character and I said, yo, Tom, this doesn't seem like you. Can you give me some more information on it? It seems like this is off. You would either have a really good answer for it or you wouldn't. And if you didn't, and I said, hey, that you're better than that.
Yeah.
You would take that and you would accept it.
Yeah.
We all make mistakes. And it takes other men, I think, around us who we want to be more like, who we want to be around, who we want to respect us, to be courageous enough to say, you need to be better. And then trust us to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great thing. There's a lot of guys, I feel like a lot of people, it doesn't have to just be men, it could be women too. I feel like if people would see the scenarios in their life where they're at a deep low, mm-hmm. they could use that as potential, they use that as fuel to get even better, rather than using it to go down a certain path or take advantage of people or go down doing drugs, drinking, right? Instead of taking those emotions and thinking that it's the end of the world or I can't do any better, rather than they use that as fuel to elevate higher. And the reason why I ask you if it's a good or a bad thing, because sometimes I think it's like, all right, do people really have to go through those traumatic experiences to really wake up and be like, wow, I need to get my shit together? Or is it a good thing that they have to kind of endure that? It builds character. Sometimes I think it's like, all right, it's a good thing. But sometimes it's like, do people always have to go through that shit to make that drastic change or for them to really like elevate? So I think it's a great thing because like I've taken it, the shit that I fucking been through, and I've molded everything into what I have now. I'm very thankful for it. Like what you said, if I didn't go through what I went through back then, I would not be where I am today. But I think that if people see it more of a light when they're in those bad situations and they use it to rise up, I think that would change not only a lot of people, but the whole world as it is with depression, with emotions, with people. Yeah.
Well, I think it's lessons are only lessons if you decide to learn them. Right. And so people like the worst thing that's ever happened to you is the worst thing that's ever happened to you. And so for some people, that's like ending up in rehab, losing their family, and all that terrible line. For other people, I know I have great friends who put guns in their mouths. And for other people, it's not having the approval of their parents once. It doesn't matter what the really bad thing was for you. If you felt really bad about it and you learned something, that's great. Where I see people making mistakes is something bad happens and they blame everybody else. Instead of saying, okay, what was my role in this? It's, nah, those are bad people. Nobody wants me to be successful. One of the things that mentor asked me to do that was really valuable was to look at all of the relationships in my life that had broken down and to evaluate what was my role in them. He's like, I'm not saying they were all your fault. But he's like, but if you light a match in the forest and you drop it by accident and the forest burns and a town burns down, are you responsible for all of that? No. Do you have a role in it?
Yes.
So I just want you to look for what are the areas where you had a responsibility. I decided to take it a step further and call about 40 people and apologize for my role in our relationships not being where I thought they should be. And by the way, that started with my wife. We were happily married. She's like, what are you apologizing to me for? I wasn't wearing a wedding ring. Because when I worked out a lot back then, and I was treating patients with my hands, and I'm like, it's annoying. You know I love you. I'm not banging anybody else. Like, we're good, right? She's like, yeah, because she's great. I realized that's not true. She'd like me to wear one. She'd like people to know that I'm proud to be married to her. Mm-hmm. So when I bought a wedding ring, I apologized for not doing it. That was the first one. And I ended up with my business partner, who, when we split, there were some things that weren't good, right? Like, he was a good friend of mine, so there's that. Then when we split, if I'm being honest now, I've never said this publicly before, we lied to everybody about why he was leaving. And we told them he was going to start a family when that was never the truth. It was just, this wasn't going to work anymore. And I don't need to go any further into that. And then he tried to make things harder for me after I paid him to be gone. And so I lied for him. That hurt. And I was like, I don't deserve this. And so he was the last call. I didn't have it in me to call him and apologize because I'm like, fuck that guy. But he was the last call. And it felt so good to tell him. I'm like, look, I wasn't the friend you needed. I wasn't the partner you needed. I didn't know how to do it. I'm sorry for my role in our relationship breaking down.
And it's very interesting, and I appreciate you saying that. That's very real, realness. It's integrity. I like that because not a lot of people have that. Me and you, we have that integrity. And that's why every time I come, I sit down, whether it's on video or not, I learn a lot from you because I'm still trying to figure out everything with my personal life, with my business, with my gym, right? How I train myself, how I compete, blah, blah, blah. So I take a lot from that. So I appreciate you actually saying that. And when it comes to, I feel like it's closure too, because I've always been a man of closure, whether it's with my personal dating relationships or if it's with friendships, right? It's not that I like to have the last word, but I just like to have that closure or that communication. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times with people, I don't know if it's because they don't see eye to eye or if it's because they have their own inner turmoil that they have to deal with, but I've learned that to feel bad for people. I don't have the resentment or the anger anymore. I used to when I was younger, right? I'm talking like I'm fucking 50 years old. But I'm 27 now, and when I was 21, 20 years old, right, I had that resentment. I had that fucking anger towards people and all this stuff. But then I started to realize as I got older, I'm like, you know what? Could it be me? Yeah, because I'm not perfect. I make mistakes too, right? Maybe I said something, maybe I did something that they thought was out of line, but I didn't mean it in those intentions. But if I have good intentions, then I'm like, okay, I'm good. All right, if they voiced to me something that I did that they didn't like, okay, then I communicate, whatever. But I start to feel bad for certain people because when I'm arguing with them or when I'm dealing with somebody that I don't necessarily understand why they're putting that shit towards me, if I do good by them, do everything they want, buy them gifts, right? Let them do certain things, right? Or I work with them a little bit on certain occasions, right? But they're still like fucking pounding, like just like knocking. They just don't want to hear it. They don't want to deal with me or I'm doing my best, right? But then I start to realize, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm not necessarily dealing with them. I'm dealing with everything that they've been through. I'm dealing with everything, every person, every car accident, every failed test grade, every lost dollar. I'm dealing with all the shit that they've had to deal with. So nowadays, I just feel bad. I'll do the same thing. I'll say sorry if I did something or if I didn't do enough. But now I just say, you know what? I still have a little bit of anger at first, but it's like I see your situation, I see what you're dealing with, and I feel bad. There's nothing much that I can do for you if you're coming against me or if you're doing certain things to blight me, whatever that word is, plight, I think, then there's nothing I can do for you. So now I instead of just getting too angry at people and like retaliating, I'm just like, all right, I feel bad. I'm sorry you have to go through that. Like, it sucks. Yeah.
But what you're speaking to is the opportunity for redemption. Yeah. Because anyone of, and I felt the same way, by the way, for a long time, way past 27. So it's, no, you screwed me over. Fuck you. You're dead to me. That was, and yeah. By the way, not only are you dead to me, I'm going to come back and I'm going to show you what a mistake you made. And I did that several times to several people. And it always felt good for a minute.
For a minute.
And then what happens is it comes back to bite you.
Yeah.
Even like I had an example recently with a person I imagine you've heard of, won't mention it on the air, who came and trolled me on my Instagram account like 9 years ago when I was first starting to like put myself out there, when I had a lot of ego attached to the way that people would respond to stuff I put out, because I was like, I don't know if I really believe this, but I'm going to put it out to the world and see how people respond to it and then make decisions about where I'm at afterwards. And when people would come on there and attack me, not the idea, not the thought, me, I was like, oh, let's get it on then. And this guy in particular did it, and I put him in a corner where he looked like a fool for what he had done. And he recognized that he looked like a fool and he bowed out of the conversation. Recently, somebody, like he's gone on to be very successful and I've gone on to be very successful. Recently, a third party, someone he's friends with, who I'm also friends with, recommended me to be on his podcast. Didn't know anything about it, the thing. I forgot about the engagement altogether. And he's like, I don't want to have that guy on my podcast. He was a dick to me 9 years ago. I'm like, okay. Look, I get it. But it's never a good idea.
Yeah.
And the thing that I find is that whenever I'm around people who are more successful than me, and when I say more successful, I don't just mean financially. I mean, they have their life together in a way that I admire. They're the person in the room making the most connections for other people in the room. They're the people given the most away. They're the people who, at the same time, you don't go to them and waste their time and expect them to want to help you. You follow me? Mm-hmm. So the redemption I'm talking about there is every one of the people I'm describing, if a person who scorned them in the past came to them and said, look, I apologize. When I did this thing, I was at this place in my life. I only knew how to communicate like this. And I failed you and our relationship. And I don't need you or want you to tell me it's okay. I just want you to know that I messed up. Every one of the impressive people I know would give that person another chance. Doesn't mean like, hey, cool, we're friends again. Come on my show, let's talk. It means you now have an opportunity, a window, to earn my trust back. I think that's maturity.
It is. It gives energy. And energy is a big thing. You could feel turmoil. You can feel love. You can feel passion. You can feel happiness. Even when I, you know, with my clients, like, as soon as they fucking walk through the door, I know every single one of them, what they've been through, what they deal with, because personal training is also therapy. Mm-hmm. I'm also a therapy person for a lot of people. And they're my therapist too. I vent to my clients too. But even then, when they walk in, I could already tell, oh, why are you in a bad mood? Oh, did you have a bad day? Did somebody piss you off? Did somebody flip you off on the drive home here, mm-hmm. right? So even with second chances or even with apologies, it's vulnerable. It's vulnerability. not a lot of people want to get vulnerable, especially in front of a lot of people, right? So when we talk about success, not talking financially, because financially isn't the most important thing. Sometimes it is, but it's really not.
You need enough.
Yeah. When somebody walks into a room who's very socially anxious, when they see a lot of people, they're like, oh shit, I don't like this. Because they could be introverted, right? Mm-hmm. And then they see another person come in and they say hi to everybody. Everybody knows them. Everybody knows who they are, what they do, where they're from, what tattoos they have, how their eyes look, what color their eyes are, whatever. It's not because of their, whether an attractive person or their, you know, they have millions of dollars. It's just because they go up and they say hi to people. Now, this other person who's socially anxious, there's two ways they could look at it. They could be jealous or they could be, oh, I want that. I want that. I want to be able to have that confidence to go up to all these people and say hi to them and make those connections. And the socially anxious person, they could be a billionaire. You may never know. And the person walking around could be making good money, right? Not as much as this person. But in that moment in time, this person is unhappy. Why? It's not because of their finances. It's because of that person is able to talk to people and be around them and give good energy. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to vulnerability, that's being vulnerable. Going up to a random person, whether it's a girl or a guy, and just saying hi to them. Hi, how are you? I'm so-and-so. I own the gym called The Strength Factory. Why don't you try it? Sometimes with me, I get socially anxious. I'm just like, oh, fuck. Like, do I ask this person? Like, do I go up to them? Do I drop my business card? Am I being too pushy? Am I looking money hungry? Am I this? When it's just literally just go up to the person and just be vulnerable. Even me just going up to a deli clerk or a person, right, that I think who wants to get in shape or anything, that's vulnerable to me. Sometimes I get like a pit in my chest. I don't know why, because I coach people every day. I've coached in front of 80 people one time. I talk to different people all day. But even me, like, getting that pit in my stomach, and I'm thinking, I'm like, why the fuck? Like, why? Why is that happening? But that's just me being vulnerable. It's an unknown situation. Unknown person. Don't know who you are. Don't know what you've been through. Don't know what your voice sounds like. I don't know where you're from. To me, that's being vulnerable.
Well, and they don't know you.
Yeah.
So they don't understand anything about your credibility. Right? It's... There are rooms you can walk into and everyone's going to be quiet and listen to what you have to say. And there are rooms you're going to walk into and people are going to have no idea what value you could offer. And so when you start offering that value to people who don't know who you are, there's a level of, oh, I have to go back to the, you don't know anything about me. And that's actually from my experience of trying to do things differently over and over and over again. That's a level down from where you could go. And so I spent a lot of time going to events and trying to be impressive, right? I would speak at the event, come off stage, and then I'm answering questions and I feel like the man. I brought my wife to an event in April last year. I spoke in front of 800 people and I was like, hey, I came off the stage. I'm like, how turned on are you right now? You know? And she was like, very. So I felt awesome. And I walked out of there with some contacts, with some connections. I went to another event in January. I didn't speak at the event. I was just an attendee. It was my friend's event. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to, it's my friend's event. I really care about this friend. She's so awesome. She's been so good to me. I want to make sure everyone I come across at this event leaves saying this event was so awesome. And if I can do anything to help her do that, I'm going to. So I just put me aside and I started asking people questions about themselves. I walked out of that event with so much opportunity. I don't know. I literally, as I'm talking to you right now, I'm realizing there are parts of it I need to follow up with people on because I've dropped the ball because there's so much that came from it. You can earn trust just by asking people about them. So how do you handle it now? Somebody burns you. How do they, like, how do you put them into a box over here where you're like, I feel bad for them because they burned me because it's all they know how to do? It's not that they wanted to burn me. It's that they wanted to get something. How do they live over here and still have a way back in someday somehow?
So with me, I mean, right away, do I get angry? Yeah. Like I'll definitely like have my words, right? Mm-hmm. I'll say it to the person. Could I vent to it to other people? I do. It just helps me get, you know, my emotions off my chest. But am I ever going to try to get redemption or retaliate? No, absolutely not. Because I will not stoop to that person's level. Whether they do it maliciously or they do it in a different blight, a different light, then I don't like retaliation. I don't like redemption because I believe in karma, right? If the person keys my car, am I going to do it to them? I definitely want to, but I know that keying their car is going to turn into a slash tire. What does a slash tire turn into?
Broken windshield.
Broken windshield. What does a broken windshield turn into? Them fucking throwing a propane tank and boom, right, blowing that shit up. So for a person to come back into my life after they've wronged me or they've chosen not to mess with me or to be, or, you know, to work with me, in order for them to come back in is just being held accountable. You have to be accountable for your own actions. I will. Listen, you come to me and you think I did something wrong, enlighten me. I will communicate. And if you think I'm wrong and if it really bothers you that much, okay, then I will apologize. You didn't like it? Okay. But to take you from that box that I put you in, away from me, because of all the stuff that you've done, in order for you to come back, you have to earn your stripes. Mm-hmm. I had one friend who I knew for a long time. Me and him always talked about opening up a gym together. We worked out together. We talked to each other about women, the girls we were dating, venting to each other, got food, stuff like that. But when the time came that it was time to actually become grown-ups and actually do it, we didn't see eye to eye, or he didn't understand that you had to get to a certain point in order to get there with me. I'm here. I've been working. You haven't. So we fell off. There was some malicious stuff there. He said that I wasn't there for him in certain times of his life, even though I was. And you know, I talked to him. I said, listen, what did I do? Like, because I'm dumb. Like I say, I texted you coming here because I couldn't find the fucking sign. I'm dumb. So I may not realize certain things at certain points. So we talked, and then we didn't talk for a little bit. And then when we all started working out during COVID, I invited him. I didn't talk to him for a little bit. I was like, yo, we're going to be at the turf, the track. I got kettlebells. I got sandbags. Come work out. And he just thumbs upped it. Okay, cool. I did it again. Let me just try to throw it out there. Same thing. Then it got to where he felt the type of way because I was running the workout. Because I said the time. I said this.
He told you that?
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, what would you like me to do for you to come? He goes, I want you to run with me at 4 o'clock in the morning. If you run with me at 4 o'clock in the morning, I will work out with you at 12:30. I go, why the fuck would I do that when I wake up? Back then, I waked up a lot later because I was a bartender. Why the fuck would I wake up at 3:30 in the morning to go and run with you at 4 o'clock when I have to be, when I wake up at like 10, 11 o'clock and I don't work till 5 o'clock at night? Moral of the story is that when we met up again after that, he still then asked me questions. Why is it that I can't do certain things with you guys? Why is it that I can't do this? I go, bro, because you have to earn your fucking stripes back, dude. Like what you said, just because you say sorry or just because you give me a piece of Reese's Cups because that's my favorite fucking candy, it doesn't mean that you're just let back into my life like nothing fucking happened. We may have history. We may have that friendship. We may have that brotherhood. But you have to earn your stripes. Don't just come in and take videos, right? Don't just come in and expect things to be handed to you. I don't fuck with that. I don't like that because the past is the past. But in order for you to earn your stripes, you have to do certain things that comes back into my life, into my stuff. So that's how people go from being in that little box to coming back into my life. It does more than a sorry. It's more than a Reese's cup. You have to earn your stripes. You have to prove it with actions. You have to do the work. You don't do the work. If you just yap, I can't deal with that.
So how do you help people? Do you help people understand what the work is? Let me explain what I mean. There have been times when I've been in situations with people who are upset with me. And I'm like, I don't know what I did here. I could really use your help explaining to me what I did. And then they'll say, like, if you don't know what you did, then there's nothing for us to talk about. I'm like, no. But there is, because I don't understand, and I want to be a good friend. Yeah. And now this hasn't happened in a while, in large part because I'm typically thinking about other people and taking care of other people more than I'm thinking about myself. But when I'm thinking about a person who is less developed in terms of their awareness in this way, me 10 years ago, is it just that person doesn't have the emotional maturity yet to be your friend again? Or is it that they need your help to acquire it? How do you see that?
I think everybody needs a certain type of help at some point. I think it's both. I think it's emotional maturity, and I think it's integrity. The emotional maturity where you realize that Tom has certain things that you don't have, or that he has access to people that you don't, that you guys are in the same circle, but for whatever reason, even though they don't see it, is that, oh, they prefer Tom or whatever. They prefer that. They prefer me to run the workouts. They prefer me to say the time. They prefer me this, do that, blah, blah, blah. It's the emotional maturity to be like, okay, I'm doing something wrong and I need to change something within myself to have my own crew or my own clan or my own followers and not to just try to take from Tom's. And then there's another thing is integrity. You have to have integrity with yourself, within yourself. So the way I help people is that I fucking emasculate them. I emasculate
how
is them.
How does that help them?
I emasculate them because I am not the unicorn of fitness. I'm not the fucking rose flower. I'm not the My Little Pony. I'm not going to clap for you. Hey, oh my God, you did 10 burpees in a row. Wow. I don't give a fuck. You do 10 burpees that day, you're going to do it again tomorrow. You're going to do it again on Thursday. You do it again on Friday. And I will emasculate you if you come to me and you say, oh, Tom, you know, like my, you know, I'm not really feeling it. I'm not really doing this. So, for example, you know what? I'll put Matt out. I love Matt. My client, Matt, today.
He's going to be good with this?
Yeah. Okay. If not, then he's going to be emasculated. That's fine. He needs it. I love him. He's a good dude. Great guy. Today, we did deadlifts, right? So, we're talking, and he's doing three plates. So, sometimes he'll get the four, sometimes he won't.
You go straight from three to four plates?
Yeah. Today, no, he went from 3 to 3 and 25 and okay. Then 4. So we did 5, 3 and then 1 rep max. 4 plates is his rep max, okay? So today he looks at me, he goes, Tom, I'm staying at this weight. Why? Oh, I'm not feeling it. I go, I don't give a fuck. Because you know why? Because if you don't do this, if I let you get to that point, you're going to text me. You'd be like, fuck, I should have did it. Fuck, I've been thinking about this all day. Fuck, what should I do? Instead, I tell you, yo, you want this shit, right? You want that to happen. You want to lift the weights because I know you're going to bitch about it if you don't. So you better put that shit back on and do it. And he did it. So when I talk, and I love, and shout out to my client, Matt. I love him. He's made a big change. He's a good dude. And I'm proud of everything that he's done, just like all my other clients. But today I bring him up because that was my morning with him today. Emasculation is me just putting you in that place where it's like, yeah, I am going to put you in your place. I am going to emasculate you. I am going to make you feel like shit. Because it doesn't make sense for me to coddle you, to hold your hand, and to do all this unnecessary bullshit when I know that you need a lifestyle change. You need to change. Not me. I put in the work. I fucking show up every day. I kill myself every fucking day. And I show up every day. So I don't need that shit. You do. So if anything is I'm going to do the help for people is to realize, yeah, listen, sometimes you ain't shit. And I need that shit too. Right? Some of my clients will give it to me. Yo, you need to get your shit together. You need to stop fucking around. Or my friends do. So I like the bruntness. I like the brute force. I like the grittiness. I love the anger. I love the fire. That's what I feed off of. Mm-hmm. Is it for everybody? No.
Well, I don't... I push you on that. I don't think that's emasculating. I think that that's challenging. So the difference is this. If I was your client and I was like, hey man, I'm not feeling it today. And you were like, so you're just going to stop there. Like you're just going to stop there. And then later today, you're going to text me about how much you regret not going for it. That's the fucking plan. And I was like, you know what? Fine. And I did it. If it's the right thing for me, and I'm counting on you to know the right thing for me, that's why I'm paying you to be my trainer. It's not emasculating. It's a challenge to my masculinity. It's like, hey, do you have it or not? It's emasculating if I don't do it or if I fail the lift and you're like, I knew you were a bitch. That's
something I would do. That's something I would say.
Well, would you say that to someone? Do you say that to your friends? Do you say that to clients? Who do you say that to?
Oh, all people that train with me, all people that believe in me, everything, everything. Mm-hmm. Like,
are you meaning it or are you?
I mean it with love. I am an intensive Care Bear. I am a pink little fucking Care Bear that has a tire iron from The Simpsons. And I'm just like, yo, that's it. I'm going to kill you with love, baby. Mm-hmm. That's it. But
that's trash talk.
Yeah. I think it's emasculation because a lot of men wouldn't like that. They wouldn't like some guy or some kid to tell them, you know, yeah, you're a little bitch. Why didn't you do it? Why aren't you doing this? Because mm-hmm. I come from a certain background. I come from a background where it's like, listen, Tom, you better get your shit together. In jiu-jitsu, when a guy's on top of you or if, you know, you're getting kimura'd, you're getting taken down, it's like, I come from that background. That's, you know, that's where I came from. And does everybody need to train like me? No. Does everybody need to lift heavy every fucking day? No. I do because it works for me. I do because it's who I am. It's what I do. And if you don't like my training style, then okay, you can go to LA Fitness. You can pay the $30 a month. You want to listen to your own music? You can buy a nice expensive pair of AirPods and go and do that shit. You don't want to listen to heavy metal? That's fine. I am blunt and I like the bluntness because that is going to keep the real good people around me. So if I can emasculate you, if you can realize sometimes how much of a bitch you're being and you take that and you prove me wrong, I love when people prove me wrong. I love it because I like putting them on the spot, right? You can't do four plates. Why do you say that? I don't know. Because you're being, you know, you're being a little, you know, you're being a little coward. Mm-hmm. Prove me wrong. Go and do it. And when they prove me wrong, what do? I applaud and I'll go, okay, four plates and a 25. That's the next one. So we keep going up. That's just my training style. That's how I do. It's not for everybody. And that's why I like members at my gym. It's small. It's a small gym. But I love it because the people, they give me everything. They give me everything. And that's what I want.
But when I think that's what's critical. People, no one comes to you and is surprised that that's what you're doing. So they need to come and opt into that. Right? So what we, like, what I love about this is we run Active Life not like that. And I love being coached like that. Just because I run my business the way that we run my business doesn't mean it's necessarily the way that I would want everyone to work with everyone, right? If I was in Active Life as a client, I would want the person working with me to challenge me. 100%. I would want them to make me put my existence on the line to prove to them that that's what needs to happen. What you're doing is, I take it back, we're not the opposite. What we're doing is we're telling people treat everyone the way that they want to be treated. What you're doing is you're saying only come here if this is how you want to be treated, because this is how I'm going to treat everybody here. So it ends up being the same thing. Your line in the sand is just very, very clear. It's wide and it's deep.
Yeah. And that's authentic. That's my true self. Mm-hmm. Like I'm very, I will do anything for everybody. And I'm not saying for people to think that I'm shallow or I'm just intense and like, oh, woe is me. It's like, you know, you can't have bad days. You could definitely have bad days. I have bad days. If you need to vent, you need to talk to me. I've had girl clients cry. I've had girl clients cry, and why I tell everybody, go do your thing. I go outside. I hold their hands. What's wrong? Are you okay? Did you get hurt? No, my boyfriend or, my mom passed away. I'm just going through stuff at work. Okay, cool. like, let's just sit down. Let's talk. No, I don't want to talk. If they don't want to talk, they hug me. Okay. I hug them because sometimes they just need that comfort, right? They just need that. And working out, you get very emotional. It's very hard. Sometimes people can't handle it, and that's okay. I'm comforting in that sense towards people, whether they are going through stuff with life. If they can't pay me for certain months, I'll let them work out. I'll give them that access because working out is also therapy for a lot of people. It's their only escape, right? But when it comes to physical fitness, when it comes to strength training, when it comes to being better, I enjoy the brunt. I enjoy going to a dark place. That's me. I enjoy that. I thrive off that shit. And there are my clients, all of them, they do the same thing. Every single one of my clients has worked out with me at some point, and they all know that that's what they're going to have to deal with. And if they come to a class, it's the same thing, just less intensity. Now, newer people, I get told about this fucking shit all the time. It's too intense. It's too intimidating. I don't think I can do that. Why? Why? Because it looks challenging. You don't want to go through the pain. You don't want to change your habit. I actually want to change people. And when I see changes in my clients through their mentality and their physique, I thrive off that stuff too. So now I would rather have 50 to 100 lions than 10,000 sheep. Mm-hmm. That's my whole thing. So that's why, going back to your point before, people are successful in different aspects, not only money. Is money everything? No, but it is one of the most important things that you can have. But also your happiness and your peace of mind is. I can't buy a 700-pound deadlift. I can't ask you, hey, Sean, can you put an injection in me that's going to make me bench 405? No, that's humanly fucking impossible. In our lifetime, it is impossible. So when it comes to physical fitness and changing people, I want you to change. I want you to commit. I want you to be endearing. I want you to be powerful. I want you to be confident. But if you're going to come to me and give me half-ass effort, if you're not going to show up on time out of your own choice, not because of life discrepancies like traffic, if you're going to half-ass it, and if you're not going to give me everything, and you're going to bullshit me, I don't need you. Mm-hmm. I don't, because I'm not money hungry like that.
Well, more to the point is they're not going to get out of it what they want.
Yes.
And so for you, it's not about their money coming to you.
No.
It's about what they're getting out of coming to you that you know you can't promise. And you're like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
I don't have the energy to not get you the results. That's not what it's for. Yeah. I want to push you on something. You said for a lot of people, training is therapy. How many people do you know who would say training is my therapy, who are actually in a good mental place?
Quite a few.
Yeah.
I think a few are not, but I think quite a few. But I think when it comes to what you said last time, I just remembered this, what you said last time, athletes, people working out hardcore, like you telling me, hey, Tom, are you really that good? Yeah. Okay. Stop training for a week.
Right.
What? Me, what? Like, right. Don't work out for a fucking week? What? So I would just lose my mind. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. I would lose my shit. I would not know what to do with myself. I would probably start twitching. And I would probably get very depressed because I love training. I love it. I love how it makes me feel. Now, when it comes to other people, I think they would be the same. Right. So it's a very interesting question. It's interesting because I think people are in a good mental health when they come to me and they train, they get that stress out. But then if I tell them don't work out, then what are they going to do with their time?
Well, my thought process here is this. The gym, when you're training, is therapeutic,
mm-hmm.
because it gives you the opportunity to shut your brain off.
Yeah.
All those problems go away. But when you stop training, all those problems come back.
Yeah.
And so it requires a person who's able to now face those problems to actually get rid of them. And that's the therapy that I associate with. What I would say, what do you do with that time? Is you become the guy who can do both. Because I think Tom Tom DeJulie, who could take a week off and could go in and work out with the intensity you work out with, is a much more dangerous Tom DeJulie than the guy who can't take a week off.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about you screams people want to be there because they want approval from you because they know you have the scars. Right? So like, there's a story that one of our guys was telling me about today, Cody. How much you know about Alexander the Great? Do you know who he is?
I know who he is.
Okay. So there was a time when he was marching his armies through Persia and a bunch of guys were like, this is too hard. We're stopping. Like this is insane. And he took off everything he was wearing and he stood naked in front of his men. And he's like, I challenge the man with more scars than me to step forward and tell us why this is a bad idea.
Wow, yeah.
And nobody did. And they all marched with him. Mm-hmm. That's you. Nobody's ever going to question whether Tom is going to put the work in or not, whether that's mental work or physical work. So when they get and they know you're going to tell them when they're not doing the thing, right? Like, hey, you're being a bitch right now. They know that's coming. So to earn a, hey, nice fucking job means a lot to your clients from you. Your kryptonite, as I see it, is not being able to take that week off.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
It's
100%.
So think about what a monster you become if you're mentally able to do that and mentally able to do what you do already.
And that would make me very vulnerable because, okay, if I didn't work out, then I would really have to focus on what the things that I'm not doing. The thing, like self-reflection, meditation, writing, going on the computer, doing programming, like the online stuff that I dread doing, or sitting in front of a fucking computer and just writing everything out. Like, basically, it would put me vulnerable because I'm not getting the endorphin rush that I have, the sweat, the pain. That would make me, to me, that would make me vulnerable.
Well, it's less of the other tasks you would need to do, to me at least. It's more of the, okay, like there's a ball of fire that lives inside of you that needs to be either fed or extinguished, whatever you want to call it, every day. And that happens through exercise. Like, you like going to the dark place because it takes that much intensity to bring that internal pressure down, right? If you had a second way to do it, now all of a sudden it's like, okay, it's not about doing the extra work and going online and programming. It's creating stillness and being really strong in that.
A lot of the times being still is still something that I have trouble with doing. Just sitting down, just going like this.
I had the same problem for a long time.
Just doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Like just being, laying mm-hmm. down, breathing, mm-hmm. right? I like what David Goggins says. He has mini vacations.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fucking psychopath, but I love it. He said his mini vacations is driving. I like that because when I drive, I listen to music, right? I vibe out. Taking a shower, right? Because you're just in the shower, hot water, sleeping. He doesn't believe in taking vacations. So with him, he's a very high fucking strong person. So telling him, hey, just lay down, breathe, relax, chill. Don't run. Chill the fuck out. It's fine.
Well, that's never what I would tell him. Just chill to be out. Clear. Yeah.
But I wouldn't tell him that shit either because I want him to keep doing what he's doing. But somebody like that, it's like trying to tell them to relax, to have the yin and the yang. Maybe he doesn't want to, or maybe he feels even more vulnerable doing that than running 250 fucking miles. Like
for
me,
sure.
Like me, I'm more vulnerable with that because even when I'm laying down in bed, or if I'm in my afternoon and I'm not busy or I have nothing to do, I'd be laying down and be like, fuck, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I not doing this? Why am I not at the gym making videos? But in reality, it's like, no, I'm doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty fine. Right? I'm content. I have everything that I need in life to be happy. But for some reason, it's me just sitting down and just like contemplating, thinking, not working out, thinking about all my problems. It's just like, why can't I just breathe? Now, that's not all the time, but sometimes it is like that. Sometimes, like, all right, like telling the athlete to stop training for 1 or 2 weeks. Take a break. You deserve it.
If I was in a room with David Goggins and it was my job to challenge him, right? I think, guys, first of all, I wake up in the morning and I'm grateful that that guy exists, right? So let's just start there, because I want to be clear that what I'm about to say is not trashing David Goggins.
We love David Goggins.
Great guy.
He reacted to my Instagram story one day. I was so excited. Yeah. He's like, stay hard. I'm like, yes. Yes.
Did you tag him in it?
Yeah, I tagged him in one of his running videos. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So here's where I would challenge him. I would ask him if he thinks he's independent. Like, are you a free, independent, hard motherfucker who nobody else can tell what to do? And he would say yes. And I would say, I would argue you're not. Because if it wasn't for modern medicine and doctors, you couldn't run.
Yeah.
And so it's great that you take advantage of all of that stuff. It doesn't make you soft at all. I'm glad you do it. But how do you really become independent? You're able to listen to your body. You're able to say, this is as far as I should push today. And I can be at peace knowing that I don't have to push further than that, even though I want to. Because it's like the quiet, the peaceful warrior. I don't know if you know anything about that philosophy, like the samurai philosophy.
The warrior, be a warrior in a garden and not a gardener in a war. That's what I think of.
Yeah, it's exactly what I'm talking about. I see you as the warrior who goes to the garden and you're like, I don't want a fucking garden.
Fuck no.
Right, bring me back to war.
That sucks.
Sure.
That's boring.
Sure. I get it. And look, there's, I want to be clear when I'm talking about you too. I have a lot of admiration for the way that you're able to.
Thank you, man.
Take that stuff. You're welcome. I wouldn't still be hanging out with you and talking to you and inviting you on the podcast if I didn't think what you did was inspiring. My challenge, the thing that you keep bringing up, is you feel like you'd be vulnerable in that position. And earlier you talked about all the benefit from vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be the same for you.
Mm. I definitely would feel a lot better. My aches and pains would go away.
Well, I'm not even talking about that. No, I'm talking about this. And you do, one of the things that I think you do that a lot of other people don't, that I see in you, is the problems that you were talking about before, thinking about at 2:30 in the afternoon when you're laying around, you're not a guy who runs from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? You do come face to face with whatever problems you're dealing with, yeah, and you do think about them, and you do talk them through, and you do have friends who check in on you and who you check in on and who check you on your shit. So you're not avoiding it with exercise. And I think that that's a really important thing for people to know as we talk about this. The week off wouldn't be for you to be able to face your problems. It would be for you to get stuck with your thoughts and be like, why am I thinking this? Do I want to think this?
Yeah.
But I want to think instead.
Mm-hmm.
That.
Yeah. And that's something personally that, yeah, I deal with that too. It's like, I think it's intrusive thoughts. I think that's what it is. But it's like, why am I thinking that, oh, like I'm not doing enough? Or why is it that, oh, like, you know, am I comparing myself to people? Like, am I really taking away my joy by comparing? Is that me doing that? Is it me being insecure? Is it me not wanting to face certain things? Or it's like, do I want to wait till the last minute to face them? It's weird. So sometimes even sitting down and like overthinking, it's like, I shouldn't be thinking like this, but I am. I shouldn't be doing that, but I am. It's like, it's definitely very interesting. And that's why I think like the human mind is so powerful, because it's like you lifting a weight, and if your mental game isn't in it, then you're not going to do it. That's what I told Matt today. If you're not mentally into it, you're not going to do it. He mentally got into it. He deadlifted 400 pounds. Boom. And I think myself, I'll just speak about myself, sitting down with those thoughts is like talking to like the devil, or it's like coming face to face with the Reaper. It's like talking to them and like looking them straight in the face. It's like, no, like I don't want to do this. Oh, but you should. No, I don't want to. Oh, but, and I'm not talking about anything dark thoughts. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying like problems in general. Like, it's like, why, like you think that you can't get more clients or you think that you can't lift that certain weight. That's them talking to me. It's just like, no, I can, but no, you can't. It's that constant internal battle. It's that constant internal thing with the demons, with the reapers, with the ghosts in your head, in your mind, that makes your head fucking hurt. It feels like you're drowning. It feels like your head's getting crushed. Like somebody's taking their hands and they're like fucking pressing against your head. That's what I feel. Mm-hmm. I feel I'm drowning. I feel sometimes where I get anxious and I feel like somebody's taking my head or like a press and just like pressing into my head, right? It's painful. It's not all the time, but recognizing that and dealing with it, I think is the hardest thing I've had to do in my life.
I haven't had to do that. And so I can try and empathize with it, but all I can do is say, that sounds overwhelmingly difficult. And I get where the intensity of the workout comes from when that's where you're living. I give you a lot of credit for keeping that at bay.
Yeah.
Like that's.
It's something that I don't think I'll ever get rid of. I would like to.
You would like to?
I mean, yeah, but in my head right now, I don't think it ever will. I think I'm stuck with it. But I would like to, definitely. But I feel like there's certain things that have to happen or things that I feel like I have to do in order to get that done.
Like what?
Basically just kind of be not more successful, but be more independent. Like to basically become the version that I want to become. In training, financials-ish, right? I always say money isn't everything, but there are things that I would like, right? Mm-hmm. Definitely things with personal relationships. I would like that to be something in my future to where I can have a family of my own, stuff like that, where it comes into love and relationships and that stuff. Definitely just helping more people, just being better, being better as a person, being better as Tom, not to do more, not to get more, just to be better and to do better. And to let go of my past, my whole past, everything, every fucking thing. Don't ever think about the past ever again. Whether it's a failed lift, certain things don't work out with certain people, injuries, me pulling my back last year, deadlifting. Sometimes I have that fear of deadlifting, right? Just letting go completely of my past and not thinking about it ever again. Then that doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen in the future, but to forget all that and to subside it, to really not even keep it at bay, but just to break it, destroy it, throw it off a cliff, burn it, fucking annihilate it. That stuff I still have to figure out. But yeah.
Let me give you this then. How often do you talk about it?
I feel like to close friends, I do. I'd say if like we're just like, if it's not always negative, but if we're like catching up about life, I'd say like, you know, people I haven't talked to in a while or, you know, good friends. But like not too often. I'd say not often, because I don't want people to think, oh, like, woe is me or all this stuff. I do not want to be that person.
So. Not that person.
Yeah.
There's two things I want to share with you then. The first is nobody who comes across you is thinking about your past. Mm. That's you and your thoughts, right? All I know about your past is what you've chosen to share with me about your past. I appreciate everything you share about your past. But to me, that stuff is what has created you. And so I like in my position, I get to watch it from the outside. I'm grateful that all of it happened, because otherwise you're not you. Mm-hmm. And I don't know a second you. You're fucking one of a kind.
Thank
I love
man.
It.
Thank you, man.
You're welcome. The other thing is I had a lot of that myself, where I was like, this is my past. I don't want to, like, I'm not that person anymore. And I need to get that out. I need to stop thinking like that person. And the thing I did that helped me the most with it was I just took all of the shit out of the closet and put it in front of everybody. So that now, if I was ever on a stage and someone raised their hand and they were looking to dunk on me, like, just someone in the audience was like, I'm going to say something about this guy and everyone here is going to hear about it. They couldn't say anything I haven't already said publicly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm out there. Everything is out there. To me, that makes me feel bulletproof. I'm like, look, I made a podcast about this a couple of months ago. I don't remember exactly when it was. But I talked about, like, I had a very unique upbringing in that, like, it was great. I grew up as a white kid on Long Island. Parents had money. They loved me unconditionally. Mom didn't go to work. Dad was a doctor, coached all my little league teams. I was a pretty good athlete. I was a popular kid. Girls weren't a problem. Like, and for a long time, I actually felt like I was a loser because I didn't earn anything. Like, of course I'm successful. I'm supposed to be successful. Who am I to speak publicly about how to be successful when I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth, right? Because I had all the fucking opportunity in the world. Then I looked at it from a different perspective. And it was, how many people have that and don't do anything with it? How many people have that and just keep it all to themselves? How many people have all of that and never share with anybody else how to grow? And I got over, for myself, and I shared this on a podcast, all of my insecurities around I don't deserve what I'm doing, when I looked at the objective truth about how it all happened. Right? Like, yeah, I got a bunch of mindset stuff that other people don't have. Mark Bell calls it a performance enhancing drug, is parents who love you unconditionally. I had that growing up. But performance enhancing drugs don't make you jacked. You still got to work out. So I did both. And it was freeing for me to just be like, yo, this is who I am. If you don't want to listen to me because now you know, that's fine. You can kick rocks. If you do, I'm here for you. So I share that with you just as our the skeletons in the closet, if you will, are different. But for me, laying them all out there was the thing that allowed me to just live completely without compromise.
And it's being, again, it's being vulnerable. It's also like me helping people, and me getting people out of their own darkness helps me too. I love that. I love. That is so fucking enjoyable. And I love being an outlet for people. I love when people DM me. I may not see all of them, or I may not have like the mental capacity to like respond to everybody. I had a conversation with a guy who was big in the fitness industry, and he said that he couldn't accept the fact that he was helping people. He couldn't accept the fact that like thousands of fucking people were messaging him. Like, he couldn't fathom it. And now with me, like, I get some of those messages, and in my head, I'm just like, I feel great. I feel good. But like, for some reason, I just don't have the mental capacity to respond yet. I don't have the capacity to give you that energy that you want from me in that moment. I need to accept it. I need to look at it. I need to elaborate it. And then I need to realize, wow, okay, I never met this person before. Right. And I'm helping them. I'm giving them enlightenment. I'm giving them motivation. I'm helping them. And it goes to another point where you realize who is for you and who's not, because you could have people you've known since high school, and you put out a program for, say, chest, right? Hey, guys, I put out a program, 4 weeks, build your chest strength up, $20. You promote it. Who buys it?
Strangers.
Some fucking guy from Sweden. Right. Some fucking guy from Australia, from China. Yep. Motherfuckers you never even met before. You don't even know they follow you. And who doesn't buy it? Those guys you knew back in high school. Those guys you know. Mm-hmm. Not even the people that come work out with you or who are around you consistently. Guys who knew of you or know you from years ago. Even just sharing it, liking it, commenting it. That's support. That costs nothing. Mm-hmm. And strangers, they see, like, it goes to back to what you just said. They know nothing about your past. They're not judging you off your past. They're judging you off what you're doing, like what you provide. And they see that. Even if you didn't provide a program, even if I didn't provide programs, like, I have a lot of people messaging me, Tom, you're doing great. I love what you do. You've motivated me to lift heavy kettlebells, lift heavy sandbags. You motivated me to stop training like a bitch. That, I love picking people out of that darkness. That's fun. That's enjoyable. I love that. I love when people prove me wrong. I love seeing people get stronger. And I love when people realize that they're fucking up and then they're like, oh shit, I may be pissed at Tom, but I remember what he said and he's right. I need to do that. Meanwhile, there's other people that they don't agree with it. Okay, cool. You don't agree with me buying a 362-pound kettlebell because I want to and I fucking can? Cool. Kick rocks. Why? Because that's your fucking insecurity. Saying that I could never lift that, but I'm gonna shit on Tom because he can. Mm. I'm gonna make him feel like shit because he can and I can't. Cool, sounds good.
Well, that's the mirror, not the window. They think it is, right? They're looking at a piece of glass, and they're yelling at you, but they're looking at themselves.
Yeah, and that's where it goes back to me feeling bad for certain people, especially people that I've had been close with, and it's like, you know, friends. It's like, I want to help you, right? That's what I do. My job is to help people in a very blunt way, in a very intense way, because I feel like a lot of people don't do that as much as they should. There's too many people clapping for people doing little work. Mm-hmm. You're clapping for people that don't do shit, that don't do anything. They think they are, but they're not. And I'm the type of person who will call them out on it. Why? Because they need to. Because you're wasting your time. Your effort should be a little bit harder. Because you want certain results. You want to look like that guy in the magazine. You want to look like that girl on Instagram. You want to look like all this shit. You want to look like do all these things that all these people are doing. But how do you think that they got there? How do you think? Mm-hmm. They put in a lot more work and they were a lot more patient. And that's why it's very hard to get out of my circle. You have to do a lot of stupid shit to get out of my circle. Or you just got to do one really big stupid thing. And then that's it. Because I have the tools to get people strong as fuck, to change their life. I have the energy. I have the charisma. I have the tools for you to provide to you. So now it is your choice whether to take that blunt shit and use it or say, you know what? It's not for me. Goodbye. This doesn't work. I don't want to do it. Okay, cool. Because then that 6 months is going to pass by and you're still going to be kicking fucking rocks and still looking the same and still wondering why you ain't shit.
I think we nailed it.
Yes.
Tom, where can they find you?
So I got two Instagrams. Tom DeJuli, TomDeJuli. And then my gym's Instagram, The Strength Factory, the.strengthfactory.
I'll put them both in the show notes so people know where to find you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Turn pro. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Active Live Podcast. Please remember, give us a hand, rate it, review it wherever you listen to shows. We are on a mission to humanize the healthcare industry by professionalizing the fitness industry to empower the individual to live a life unlimited by the way that their body looks, feels, or performs. If you are inspired by that mission and want to jump on the wagon, find us anywhere. Active Life Professional on Instagram, Active Life RX on Instagram. Come to me personally at Dr. Sean Pestuch. We want to welcome you onto the train. We want you to be a part of the mission. We want to offer you the opportunity to pursue this right alongside us. We're inspired by your effort, and we hope to help you in your journey. Turn pro.